this gambling package. We talked about it in the 6 a.m. hour that you can expect, well, one, they have to set a date where we'll vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think the people want to vote on this sooner rather than later. I don't think people want to wait till 2022.
No, they're ready to go on it now.
And so I would expect, I don't know what the time parameters are. Someone can fill me in on that. I want to say it's 90 days, where it has to be beyond 90 days. So let's say it gets passed, you know, next week. May 1, May to June, July, July to August, and, you know, you're voting in mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-September, October, you are voting on whether or not to bring casino gaming in Alabama.
And the lottery.
The lottery in Alabama. I mean, it's your vote. First time in 20 years.
Is everybody excited about that? I mean, that potentially could happen. Are you guys excited
about sports betting?
You're able to
walk into a sports book, which is basically a glorified restaurant with a lot of you know, it's like a sports bar where you can bet on the games. You're able to do that right this weekend, and you can bet on who's going to win Talladega. You're able to bet on Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bet against them. You know,
you go get one of those little paper ticket lottery things and win $5 million.
Uh-huh.
How sweet. At least try to.
Or lose the farm. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, it's your money, right?
Invariably, there are a lot of special interest when it comes to an issue like this. You have your, your faith-based interests.
Sure.
You have gambling interest from out of state that don't want gambling in state because
right?
gambling in state is going to prevent you from going out of state to gamble.
The surrounding states around us that we're all going to different states to get our lottery tickets.
Uh-huh.
Probably push back on that too.
Uh-huh.
No, keep coming to Georgia or Tennessee to get your lottery tickets.
And so we're doing these folks a favor mm-hmm. and coming up with some of the organization names, because they name themselves something that doesn't mean anything. And invariably they always spell something.
Yeah. So Matt, you're coming up with some excellent ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever group might be listening might just steal your idea, so you might want to copyright it.
For example.
Yes.
This advertisement paid for by the citizens of rural Alabama for progress and security. That's craps.
Craps. Pretty good.
Or this 30-second advertisement brought to you by the people organized to keep entertainment right. That's poker.
Excellent.
I have to finish my last
craps,
one. My last one.
Poker.
Uh-huh.
What else you got? Craps. Somebody's going to steal one of these ideas, Matt. You're going to be like, wait a minute. That was my idea. Mark this date. It is April 22nd. You need to get credit for whichever one gets used and taken. Craps, poker. What else you got? He's working on some more as we speak.
I got it.
Where
I'm
do you
excited
think,
about
do you,
it.
And I would love to know this too. Again, Birmingham broker phone lines 205-545-9950. Where are you guys on this? Do you want a lottery or gaming or both or none? Because some people are like, you know, I'm not opposed to a lottery here. But I don't want casinos and I don't want gaming. And others are like, no, if we're going to do it, let's do it all. And again, the faith-based groups are like, we don't want any of that in our state. Let's just keep it the way it is. We don't want any of it. I'd just like to know where you guys are on it. Do you care? Does it matter in your life?
I think a lot of Alabama's tired of talking about it.
Maybe so. They're just like,
because
hey,
we,
just either give
an
us
annual.
An opportunity to vote on it or not.
It's an evergreen, you know, annual. Yeah. 545-9950 is the telephone number. In the meantime, there's the Columbus, Ohio situation. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's do. Apparently, LeBron James has stepped into it big time, then stepped out of it.
By the way, this just in, and thanks to one of our loyal listeners for alerting me to it, and this has everything to do with how insane we've gotten regarding police. Chicago is what, the third largest city in America? New York.
I would say that, yes.
New York, L.A., Chicago, San Francisco, Houston up there, Dallas, Atlanta, Boston, Philly. The mayor of Chicago has announced, or is said to be considering. I know we've brought this up several times in recent weeks. The April Fool's joke that I played. You were a part of it. You were in news at the time, so you kind of kept out of it. But we played a gag, an April Fool's Day gag on the city of Birmingham.
Do not tell me that they are coming close to what that gag was. You have got to. That says everything. That we did an April Fool's joke, and if you're about to tell me that the city of Chicago is getting ready to do something similar to that.
We live in a society.
That was another thing. And we'll get into that. That's the most ludicrous. We're on the monitor. I'll tell you what was said because I heard that press conference yesterday. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, you are so ignorant as to how things work. We'll talk about that.
Can we get John Murr to pull that audience?
Yes. And we're talking about the officer shooting in Ohio.
All right. I want to back up. I'll tell you what the Chicago mayor said in a moment. Let me just give you the lay of the land. Columbus, Ohio. A 911 call comes in. That 911 call indicates that there is a fight and that there is a person with a knife that is attempting to stab another
individuals,
person.
Individuals, yeah.
Police officers respond to that. I want you to think about decision points and the society in which we live. Think about every decision point that the police have to make, right? The decision point comes and you have choices. You go this way or that way. 911 call comes in. There's a person with a knife trying to stab other people. All right, decision point.
Mm-hmm. Somebody called 911 for
Somebody called 911
for help. They called for help.
Right. So, decision point. The police collectively can either decide to render assistance or not. Which society do you want to live in? The one where they say, screw them. Or let's get Johnny on the spot over there. Let's get an officer over there and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's protect and serve. Okay, decision point. The officer gets to the scene. The officer sees chaos. Multiple people, several of whom are fighting in the street. Decision point. Does the officer say, to hell with that. That doesn't look too bad. I'll move on.
Just get back to his patrol car and take off.
Right.
Yeah, y'all figure it out. We'll check on you later.
Or does the officer say, I need to break this up and figure this out?
Yeah. Once again, he was called to the scene.
Decision point.
Mm-hmm.
The officer sees. He had prior knowledge that this might be the case. The officer sees that there's someone with a weapon, a knife. Decision point. Another opportunity to walk away. It's just a knife. No biggie. Or do I engage? He does. Officer engages. Officer tells the person with a knife, get on the ground. Get on the ground now. Get on the ground. That person doesn't get on the ground. Mm-hmm. Decision point.
Yes.
They are not complying with my directive.
While holding a weapon.
I can either decide to back off and, you know, call for backup and go back to my cruiser and chill until backup comes. Or I can further engage to prevent harm to other people. In a split second, the person with the knife goes after another person, and against a car, they raise their hand in a fashion in which they are about to stab another human being. Decision point. What the hell do you do? You are sworn to uphold the law. You are sworn to protect people. We are living in a world, and it's making me emotional.
We are
living in a world where this police officer potentially saved the life of a little black girl.
And that is not what is being said. No one has said that.
And he had to make a decision to shoot another person to save potentially the life of a little black girl. And we live in such a upside down world where the crappy, disgusting, damaging media reports on this in the way that they are. It makes me want to puke for every police officer out there.
Mm-hmm.
God love you. Please don't leave. I wouldn't blame you if you did. Please, for the love of God, good cops, don't leave. There are more of us out there than there are of them. And by them, I mean those in the mainstream media and other activists on social media and whatnot that are trying to stir up the flames of racial tension for their own purposes. Don't allow yourself to let this happen.
Yeah, and now we have an NBA star who has also inserted himself and said something pretty horrible and had to delete the tweet. LeBron James, in case those of you that didn't see this, put out a tweet and then took it down. He put, "You're next, hashtag accountability." And he posted the picture of the officer that fired his weapon that killed that 16-year-old that had the knife in her hand getting ready to kill another individual or stab another individual. And then he took it down. Again, he had a picture of the officer. He pixelated the face of the officer so you couldn't see that. But he put in capital letters, LeBron James did, in capital letters, "You're next, hashtag," in capital letters, "accountability." Do you know how dangerous that is? And again, why are we looking at what this officer did as a negative thing? He did his job. He did everything right in that situation. That's how it happens. And he potentially saved the lives of people that were in that fight, specifically the young girl that was up against the car with a 16-year-old that had the knife.
Folks, even if you have concerns about policing, even if you have concerns about policing in the inner city, this isn't your case. He potentially saved a life.
Now it gets even better.
And people are trying to ruin his, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it gets even better. So yesterday there's a press conference, okay? And one of the people asking questions in the audience, one of the reporters, says to the, I guess it was the police chief, "Why didn't this officer shoot her in the leg? Why didn't this officer shoot her in the leg?" And he had to literally explain why police don't shoot people in the leg.
We, you know, what do these people think? That we live in a Clint Eastwood movie?
Right.
Where an officer in a split second can take their gun and like, pew, yeah, and shoot the gun out of the hand.
And he had to explain. This chief had
why
to explain.
Why didn't he shoot the knife out of her hand?
He said, this is what he said. And everybody, if you know anything about this, you have to shoot for the mass, the middle of the
center
body.
Center mass.
Center mass to take down the threat. And that's what this officer did. He said, "We don't start shooting people in the leg. There were multiple people in the area. We start doing that, other people are going to get hurt or are going to get shot." So the way that this works, folks, in case you don't know, you have to shoot center mass to take down the threat. And that's what that officer did.
We'll play the clip for you in just a moment. Secondarily, this. Let's say the officer hesitates and doesn't shoot.
And he would be blamed for whatever stabbing happened. Well, the officer didn't shoot his gun. Why didn't the officer stop this? Why didn't the officer? He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. That's exactly what that incident was. You are damned either way, officer, and I hate to say it, because it shouldn't be that way. He did everything right. He did everything right. You just don't like it because it's a young black female who's 16 years old. It's the middle of the day, and there's no way to stop this woman who has a knife who is actively about to stab another person. What do you want the officer to do? Tackle her and get stabbed? That's not the way this works.
It's a weird world.
It is 545-9950,
17 after the hour. We'll take your calls on this matter and other things. as we continue. We are also discussing the hesitancy that some have, myself included, I admit, to receive the vaccination. I think someone has suggested that I'm not being independent, I'm being obstinate.
Oh.
Huh.
Are you?
I'll read you the
well, you know who would know the
tweet.
You know who would know the answer to that?
Who?
You.
Yeah. I guess
you know
so.
The answer to that.
I guess so. 18 after the hour. Back in a moment.
All right, folks, here we go. Check it out. Do you have any cracking in the foundation of your home? Is there some water or is there some musty smell down in the crawl space or basement of your home? All right, we got to get this fixed. Let's do it with Be Dry. You can go to BeDryAlabama.com to find out more. Locally owned and operated and been in business for 60 years, over 60 years. Now get this, when you call Be Dry, they offer 12 months interest free. They also have a life of the structure warranty that goes with whatever they're going to fix. So if it's your foundation, if it's moisture in your basement or your crawl space, give these guys a call, let them fix those issues, and then you can move on with life because they need to be fixed. Locally owned and operated, Be Dry. Go to BeDryAlabama.com or call them for a free quote. Here's the number again for Be Dry, 205-942-1976, 942-1976.
Talk Daddy 95, Matt Murphy, I'm one of those yo-yos. Columbus, Ohio. It just gets odder and odder. I mean, look, I don't know how you would operate as a police officer nowadays. I don't. And I don't know how you guys do what you do, guys and gals, do what you do. But I certainly do appreciate you. A Columbus police officer gets called to a scene, 911 dispatch, person with a knife. He sees a person with a knife attacking another person. That person was unarmed. The person with a knife goes after that person, tries to stab them. The officer shoots them and kills them. And somehow the officer has done something wrong. Can someone explain that to me? 545-9950 is the telephone number. Richard is in Woodlawn. Richard, good morning.
Hello, Matt. How are you today?
Great, Richard. Hope you are.
I'm doing great, man. I'm here to eat some breakfast with some friends, so that's a good way to start your Thursday.
Oh, that's excellent.
I've got an opinion about this. Living in Woodlawn, I get a front row seat to a lot of interesting interaction in the black community. And one thing I've noticed is that the black community is perfectly fine almost on just about a daily basis. The funeral processions come up and down First Avenue burying black people that have killed black people or been killed by black people. And they seem to be okay within their own circle of things happening. And when someone else comes to the outside and interferes, then there's a problem because most of the deaths are black-on-black killings. And then when something happens outside of that norm, they want to raise their arms and wave their hands like they have their own justice system among their people, among their group, among their environment. And then when anyone else interferes, have you seen anything like that? Nobody's talking about that because they're fine. Black Lives Matter never talks about the black-on-black crimes, but yet when something happens with a police officer, even if it's a black or white police officer, they want to go to guns about this.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever see that?
Let me, news coming up right now, Richard, but I'll reflect on that on the other side. Have fun at breakfast, friend. It's Matt and Val, Talk 99.5. Talk 99.5, come on. Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, Matt and Val. Would love to hear from you. The insanity that is the, you know, I was just speaking to someone moments ago that dropped by a gift.
It's very nice.
Thank you, David.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the level of insanity just when I think we've gotten to peak dumb in our society, the political left and their sycophantic mainstream media that are doing direct and real harm to these United States of America by causing undue racial tension in the country. They take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And this Columbus, Ohio story is next level.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I just ask, if you're calling 911 because somebody's got a knife and is threatening to stab people with it, what level do you want police to do? They arrive on scene. You want you've got to stop this woman from stabbing somebody else or maybe taking a life. And that's what the officer was attempting to do in this instance. And I ask those that are saying what they're saying about police and the way that he handled this situation, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to use a taser? Is that where we're going with this?
All right,
let
me tell you where we're going with this. And so I mentioned the nation's third largest city, Chicago. Now, we had a situation where a 13-year-old was out in the middle of the night. Nobody is discussing why. That 13-year-old had a gun, was firing that gun. Police officers responded to the scene. The individual, a split second before the officer shot him, threw the weapon behind a fence. The officer obviously did not see that. And that kid, 13-year-old, shot. In the aftermath of that, I'm not making this up. The mayor of Chicago, Illinois, Lori Lightfoot, is said to be considering requiring all Chicago police officers to get a supervisor's permission before engaging a suspect in a foot chase.
I bet there are officers right now, their jaws are dropping. Are you kidding me?
All right, so...
there's no time to do that. What do you mean? I need permission to chase this suspect in the middle of it? I mean, you're just supposed to stop the chase and go, hang on a minute, I need to call my supervisor. Wait a minute, you have a gun? Hold on, I got to call my supervisor. Give me a break.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, I'm just repeating it. For those of you slack-jawed, maybe some breakfast dripping out of one side of your mouth.
A few people just spewed their breakfast down. What?
The Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is considering requiring police officers to get a supervisor's permission before beginning a foot chase. Said that she would announce the policy very soon.
If you are a police officer in Chicago and you're hearing this, I guarantee you they're saying, I dare you to pass this, because if you pass this, I quit. You can't do your job.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Police Department.
It's crazy.
If you are a citizen who wishes to file a complaint against a police officer, press 1. If you are a police officer who wishes to engage in a foot chase, please press 2. Thank you.
I mean, have you lost your mind, Mayor Lightfoot?
All of our supervisors are currently busy assisting other officers requesting to engage in a foot chase. Please stand by.
Unbelievable.
In other words, big announcement. Here's another way to say this.
Yeah, to the suspect that wants to flee.
Big announcement.
Just run.
Just run.
No one's going to...
No one's going to chase you.
That's right.
Whatever.
There's no point.
Just run from the store that you just stole property from, and they won't chase you.
Guess what? They have to call their supervisor. They'll never get us. So in other words, just flee whenever you rob a store and you're on your way. Because by the time that officer gets permission from a supervisor.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. Sorry, Mayor. You're going to have to find another way.
I pray to God that good police officers just don't pay attention to the news.
I do, too. Because, at this juncture.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say. We speak for a living. We opine for a living. I don't know what to tell you about the world we're living in. The insane are now running the show. This is the mayor, duly elected, of the third largest city in the United States of America. You've got our own mayor.
I was
Randall
just about
Woodson,
to say that, yes.
Who announced for no reason that we are going to create a citizens review board of the Birmingham Police Department. And you're thinking, well, that's a good idea considering everything that's been going on wrong. What? There has been zero suggestion that anybody within the Birmingham Police Department has done anything wrong. But we've got to get this citizens review board.
Well, and again, a lot of this is coming, I think, from national you know, national stories that are happening, and you've got local people that are saying, seeing what's happening in all these other cities, yeah, we need to make sure that citizens have a voice and can, you know, contact the mayor's office or whatever phone number you need to report any activity that police are doing that you think is in violation of you. You know what? Let's focus on other issues that matter. Birmingham police are covered up trying to chase down suspects that are not being compliant, that aren't willing to give out information on shootings and homicides. They're busy trying to solve the homicides. They're busy trying to cut down on crime. And here we have a committee that you want to go and voice when you have some type of issue with a police department? Are you kidding me?
Man, oh man. I mean, I do not know why you would be a police officer.
That's why the good ones are retiring. I mean, that's why when there are officers that are close to being able to retire, when they're getting the opportunity to retire, they're retiring.
I mean,
and finding something else.
Listen,
to do.
I mean, if you're the mayor of Chicago, I mean, this is your next public service announcement.
You could run
an ad campaign. I mean, imagine seeing the next commercial in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, I'm Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago. Come make America's safest city even safer. If you want to loot. Just run. You're all good.
Here's what I know. Mayors in these cities, you've got to support your law enforcement. The mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, you've got to support Chicago police. Mayor Woodfin in Birmingham, you've got to support the men and women with the Birmingham Police Department. They feel that you're not supportive of them. That is not a good mixture.
Let's get back to your telephone calls and your thoughts. 545-9950 is our telephone number, 545-9950. Peak dumb with regard to some of these stories involving policing. Jackie is next up. Hey, Jackie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I just love y'all to death.
Thank you.
I love all of y'all. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, Jackie.
I'm Jackie Nectarine. I'm from Nectar, Alabama.
That's a beautiful little city.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but yes, you know, Chicago, they banned the guns. So basically it's the thugs that have the runaround. Now, to me, that's just so messed up. And Miss Val, I completely agree with you. You have to support your law enforcement. And you too, Mr. Matt, because I know you back it up too. Like my little boy, he's 10 years old. And so like anytime I see a law enforcement, like when I take him to school, and you've even got those that are out there doing the traffic, I make it a point. That's my job as a parent, is to, you know, help him understand that, look, these are the good guys. You know, they're out to protect us, and that, we would wave. It got to a habit to where we would wave, like they would recognize my vehicle and we would wave back and forth. Anytime we see them at a store or anything, it's just a very important. And, you know, I think it was Matt that you were talking about that, you know, it has to do with parental guidance. The fact that, it does. It comes back to the parents. If you're not teaching your children how to respect what the morals and obligations of the law are, then something's going wrong with the parent. And so basically I just really wanted to, you know, express on that because I'm right with y'all, heavily. It's very, very important that, you know, as parents that you teach your children to respect the law enforcement. And you know what? I've never, not one time have I been dissed by law enforcement. Whenever my son goes up and acknowledges and appreciates what they're doing, and I do the same. So I guess I just wanted to express on that.
Well, Jackie, we appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jackie, for the call.
You know, she's right. You know, teach your children to be respectful of law enforcement. And we've got adults that aren't even respecting law enforcement right now.
And people in
very serious positions that aren't supporting law enforcement.
I know you guys already know this, but let me walk through the bias of the media and help maybe, you know, those of you in Aniana to understand the subtle bias of the mainstream media and how it is hurting us as a country. And it's certainly hurting race relations. So you have this situation in Columbus, Ohio. But be it Columbus, Ohio, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Brooklyn Center, wherever, these same types of stories play out the same way. They present the officer in a way that we're accusing him of wrongdoing immediately. If it is a white police officer, they're always identified as a white police officer if it's a black suspect. Always. That doesn't happen the other way around,
no,
by the way.
It doesn't.
If it's a white police officer and a white suspect, they don't bother. If it's reverse, if it's a black police officer and a white suspect, they don't bother. White police officer, they always identify white, black, mm-hmm. right? We distinguish
and
along
which immediately
lines.
Makes it racist.
Right.
Immediately when you say that, it makes it racist.
I believe Derek Chauvin should, let me say this. I believe Derek Chauvin should go to jail. I believe
yes.
at least on the manslaughter charge.
I think a large swath of this country would say the same thing.
However, there has yet to be one scintilla of evidence presented in front of me that any of this had to do with George Floyd's race.
Right.
Not one.
Yeah.
But if you watch CNN, it's everything had to do. All right, so the 16-year-old that was killed in Columbus, Ohio, Micaiah Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
She was wielding a knife. She was attacking another person. By now, we have heard from Micaiah Bryant's mother. We've heard from every family member that'll get in front of a camera. We've heard from her school teacher. Her school teacher came out and said, oh, this girl had a bright future. This girl was awesome. This girl was great. The mother of the girl, who, in my opinion, based on what I know, about a woman trying to stab another person, a 16-year-old trying to stab another person, you weren't raised right. Sorry, weren't. I hate that your inability to raise a child led to that child dying. The person more responsible for your 16-year-old dead than the officer is you. That is a fact. So we hear from everybody involved in the case. Has anybody at CNN bothered to reach out to the family of the little girl whose life was saved? What about let's talk to that mother or that father? Let's ask them what they think of the police officer. Why hasn't CNN done that? Is that not an angle that you wish to explore, CNN? Or perhaps you don't care to put on your airwaves a black woman or a black man saying, thank God for that white police officer. Otherwise, my little girl wouldn't be here today. But you don't give a damn about fairness. You don't care about reporting both sides of a controversial story that ought not to be. You just want to stir it up, CNN. And by God, you keep after it. You want this country to burn, CNN, and we know it. It wasn't enough that you admitted that you went after the president of the United States to bring him down, and you're all proud of yourself. Now you just want to burn the country to the ground by misreporting a story out of Columbus and others. Where's the mother? They don't want to talk. What? Everybody wants to talk about this case, but the mother or father of that little girl that was saved doesn't?
Again, it goes to what CNN is all about. CNN is all about pushing whatever narrative they want. It's not this is not real reporting. This is not real news. That's why we call it fake news. I mean, here's one positive. Their viewership has been cut in half since Biden took office.
Oh, my God.
Their viewership is in half.
That's good. That's positive.
If that makes anybody feel any better about fake news, it's disgusting what they're doing.
It is. Just one local reporter. Just go out and talk to the family of the little girl who was almost stabbed to death. See what they have to say about the police officer. Do you think they're going to condemn the police officer? Maybe. I don't know. 545-9950 at 747. Jonathan will get to you. John will get to you as well. Rodney's Marine Center wants to get to you, and they want to get you a boat, right? And you can get away from all of it. I encourage you. Folks, get out on the lake. Test drive a boat. Get a Starcraft. Get a Silver Wave, a pontoon, a tritune. Get a Suzuki engine behind that boat that you currently own and repower that sucker. It is possible to enjoy yourself for a low price point monthly. I couldn't believe some of the price points that you can get on these boats. And financing available for boats. You don't have to pay it all up in front. You can get a boat for low, low price. I'm talking about in the 200s a month for a beautiful pontoon that you can take out your family and enjoy yourself on the lake this summer. RodneySbreen.com. That's RodneySbreen.com. Or on the road, 231 in Pell City. You know, we haven't done this in a while. I don't think I've done this with Valerie. But I like to play a game called The Last Thing Matt Hears Before We Come Back From Break. The last thing I heard.
Don't do it.
Before we came back from break, we were talking about John Bird. And we were talking about getting Bird a makeover.
Mm-hmm.
If he's agreeable to
it. Well, I'm just saying with the weight loss and, you know,
get
that
him
sex appeal that is there. I mean, a little of it is hidden. Does that make sense?
Oh, there's a lot of it.
There's some serious sex appeal there.
I don't know where he's hiding it. I think he's got a storage facility or something. But the idea is, you know, presenting John Bird like to the
masses,
you know, or
of,
maybe even to the ladies of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
the single ladies. What he would have to do
is agree that when we find the person that does the makeover. He just has to agree to the.
Yeah,
John can't say.
You have no input.
You have no input in.
None.
Haircut, facial trim, whatever.
Are we going to shave it all? Are we going to just leave a mustache?
That's up to them.
Yeah.
And in discussing this, here's the last thing that I heard before we got. I was like, so yeah, I mean, well, you know, haircut and go. Yeah, just got to do the whole thing. And I said, well, you think it's looking bad now? And Valerie said, and I quote,
oh no.
Well, yeah, I mean. You know. And you know what the funny thing is? I did know. Valerie said, I said, what do you think? It's getting too long and shaggy? She goes, yeah, well.
Yeah.
I just say you need to, you know.
I'm getting tired of it.
Well, and again, you've lost all this weight. This is a prime time to present the all new and improved, lots of sex appeal,
right.
John Bird.
Look, can we stop saying the word sex appeal?
Yeah, you don't like that?
Thank you.
Sexy?
You
know what? I'm game.
Just for me.
Sexy.
I mean, I get. Oh, okay. I'm just gonna check out. Now.
I'm game.
I'm talking to the ladies.
Okay, dokie.
For John Bird.
All right then. Okay. Ooh. Oh, there it is. Okay. Here. Ready.
Go.
Ready.
All right. Let me hear it.
I'm not gonna. All right. Here's my best one.
The new name.
All right.
Go.
The new name. So these are organizations that are coming out of the woodwork this summer to either be for or against the gambling legislation that hasn't passed the House yet, but we're hoping.
Okay.
You ready?
Go.
The Society of United Citizens to Keep Independent of the Negative Effects of Recreational Dollar Spending.
I can't even keep up with that. What does it spell out?
The Society of United Citizens to Keep Independent of the Negative Effects of Recreational Dollar Spending.